Okay, welcome back here. We're just getting started here. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. 61 degrees today. Beautiful, partly cloudy day, sunny. Unfortunately, we've got a few leaves up here that are already starting to get that gold tinge. So fall is in the air. Today, I am very honored to have two guests on, and we're going to be talking about the subject of 911. The first is Andrew Johnson out of the UK, a software engineer. He has a homepage called checktheevidence.com. You'll also find a book on there, a free download book, 911, Finding the Truth. Are you there, Andrew?
I'm here, Ralph. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. I'm real honored you take the time out, because it's, what time is it in, is it England or the UK?
Well, I live in England, but yeah, we're part of the UK. It's all, you know, the UK does have a bit of an identity crisis at times, and depending what name you use, but yeah, it's 10 past 11 here at night, so.
10 past 11, well, not overly late, but it is late.
Not too late.
And the other guest is Matthew Nas. Matthew is a retired teacher, I think. I just found out about you this morning, and I wanted to have you on the show. Are you there, Matthew?
Yes, I'm here. Welcome.
Yes, and would you pronounce your last name for me?
Say again?
Pronounce your last name.
Okay, the last name is Naus, N-A-U-S. I used
Naus.
To have fun in the Army, and I used to tell them it meant not authorized for Uncle Sam.
Okay. I was want you to tell us just briefly, give us a short background on you, because I don't really have a bio here yet on you.
Okay. I can tell you I started in the, I'm a retired school teacher. I'm a Vietnam vet. And I basically started hearing about the, what was wrong with 9/11 back in late 2005. And, I heard it from, one of the, big leaders in the 9/11, one of the leaders for James Fetzer. He's well known. He's one of the founders of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He was on a program back in late 2005, and I used to always listen to Coast to Coast AM with George Noory, and I heard a program about 9/11 and Building 7, and it got my curiosity, and I started looking and researching. And pretty soon, I read about that same time, I joined Scholars for 9/11 Truth when it just started.
Uh-huh.
And then I became a co-founder of Veterans for 9/11 Truth, which was one of the first organizations besides the Scholars one and a few others. And I helped get that organization going. And then in like October 2006, I started my own website called Take a Stand for 9/11 Truth. And because I was a co-founder, I didn't own my own site. I wanted to own my own site and have more power there with what I wanted on my website. And then basically I started going to a lot of the conferences around the nation, and was in the Chicago conference, and there I met Stephen Jones and Alex Jones and James Fetzer. In fact, I have a picture with those two scholars that started Scholars for 9/11 Truth, James Fetzer, and I got them both together, and I had to sign for Scholar, and I took a picture of them both. And then from there, I basically I met Kevin Barrett in Madison. I'm from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and Kevin Barrett was sponsoring a speaking event with Morgan Reynolds, and I knew Kevin from Scholars. And then in 2006, I went to New York City, but I only stayed there on the 10th, and then I went on the 11th. I drove all night, and I went to D.C., and I met Judy Wood and I spent the day with her there. And we spoke at a podium right on the lawn in front of the White House there. It was kind of interesting. And Bob Bowman, I met him there. He was there speaking there, too, on the fifth anniversary of 9/11. And from there, I started Take a Stand for 9/11 2006, and I became a member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice when they had the big breakup. I was always I was always a member of 9/11 Blogger for 5 years. I know this goes on and on, but basically I've been watching and studying the 9/11 Truth Movement and been active in it for a good 6 years now. So I hope I gave you a little bio there.
Okay, and so when you started off in this most of the 6 years, what do you think that you were associated that was the problem with 9/11? What actually happened?
Well, you know, when I found out about Building 7, of course, it didn't make sense to me, and so that's when I started. You know, I knew I had to get familiar with all the whatever research was out there. So I spent months. And months in late 2005, early 2006, getting caught up on all the research out there, because I didn't feel like I was able to get on blogs and all that until I had a little bit of knowledge of what was going on. And, you know, the first thing I noticed was the breakup, you know, with scholars, and it just didn't make sense to me that they were having all these fights back then. And then I realized there was some of it was involving Judy Wood at the time, and I read all the emails and that were going out. They were bickering between each other and stuff like that, you know. And so I started to notice there were some internal conflicts going on regarding the you know, the research, and they weren't allowing, you know, they were basically. Shunning and you know, other researchers, and you know, it just didn't hold with me very well. But I kept neutral. You know, I wanted to keep neutral to learn what was going on, and I didn't really get on any one side for many years. And now I decided, because I see it so evident, you know, it's so evident out there that they're, you know, they're denigrating other researchers and they're not allowing members to join, like architects and engineers, if they bring up another researcher's research, and that just doesn't sit right with me. So, you know, there's something going on internal. There's a lot of internal conflict in the 9/11 Truth Movement.
So, in the scholars, are you saying that basically they were censoring they weren't really after the truth? It was like a censoring type. It's either our way or the highway.
I don't know so much if Scholars for 9/11 Truth was doing it, but I did notice when Scholars 9/11 Truth and Justice came into existence, which was, you know, there seemed to be more articles coming out, you know, they were pushing their research for controlled demolition and, you know, and the thermite issue and all that. And then when other people would come up with some research, like Judy Wood, you know, I just didn't see them get her getting the same respect for some of her research. And then I started seeing more articles appear that seemed to, you know, say she's a little off her whacker or something. You know, it just didn't seem right to me. And I'd noticed those things all the time because I kept reading a lot.
Are you a member of the Scholars group now?
I know. In fact, what I did was, and it just happened in the last week, I now consider myself a completely independent 9/11 truth seeker. And I think that if there's any listeners to this program, I think it's wise to be independent. You know, some people, they like, you know, and I was one of them. I have to admit, you know, it feels good. Hey, I'm a member of this group. You know, I felt great when I was allowed to be in Scholars, but I wasn't a scholar. I was just an educator, an elementary educator. But they allowed me, you know, under some program they had, you know, basically to be a member. So I got to read all those blogs. But then then Truth and Justice had that big battle about the members, and they were sending all the emails out. Well, they allowed me to join. And then Architects and Engineers, I signed their petition, and then I also signed up as an action group. But right now, in the last week, I just sent out emails to them, and I think I'm off two of the sites. One I'm waiting for. They haven't taken me off yet, but I'm done. I'm not going to be a member of any of these big organizations.
Okay, and what caused this epiphany or this change in what prompted this?
Well, I can tell you what prompted it is their lack of respect for other researchers and their lack of basically I've read articles from other people. You know, there's a guy named Abraham Rodriguez that confronted. Now, let me tell you a little bit. I want you to know that I also did a lot of great work for the movement. I was the tour organizer for David Ray Griffin for his 15-city tour, and I organized that whole tour for him. That was in 2010, and then this year, I organized a tour for architects and engineers, the 10-city Midwestern tour. I've also had speakers come into my hometown for six straight years now, and I got to know a lot of the people in the movement and a lot of the organizers in the movement in these different cities as being a tour organizer, and I got familiar with a lot of the names out there, you know, and a lot of the researchers that were writing articles and, you know, and open letters and all that stuff, and when I start seeing them, going, like Richard, now here's the thing that got me with Richard Gage. While I was running his tour, all of a sudden I got wind that he was co-signing the letter.
We got to stop right there. We will start back with Richard Gage. We got to take a break and pay some bills here. We'll be back in just a minute. Well, we're back from break here, and Matthew Nallis, he's been on the inside with Richard Gage and a bunch of the others in the Truth Movement, of which he has now moved to be an independent truth seeker in the 911, and also have Andrew Johnson. Go ahead, Matthew. You were telling us about Richard Gage.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say hi. I had some emails with Andrew Johnson, and I read his book, and I just wanted to say hi to him. I know he's on the air here listening. So hello, Andrew. Okay, with Richard Gage, well, you know, I helped him. I basically organized this whole 10-city tour for him in the Midwest, and we've always been trying to get him out. And, you know, I was a big follower of architects and engineers and all their research and everything like that. But I did notice some things going on internally, and some of the things I noticed was Richard Gage was signing on with a couple other individuals, you know, from the organization or from other, like from Scholars in 9/11 Truth and Justice. And they were basically saying that they didn't support the citizens investigation team, which I think is some pretty legitimate research done by Craig Ranke and I can't think of the other name, but there was two young men that did it, and basically, you know, that struck me because here I'm running his tour for him, and all of a sudden I find out about Richard not supporting this, where at one time he really did support it. So, you know, I'm going, well, he made a change here, you know. And then I had, so like any person that has, you know, that's curious and I want to get the other side of the story, I want to use some, you know, critical thinking here and see what, you know, what the other side is so I can make a, you know, an informed judgment. And I read Craig Ranke's responses to Richard Gage, and I didn't find Richard Gage to be very authentic there in the way he treated Craig Ranke and the Citizens Investigation Team. So it kind of took me aback a little bit, you know, when I saw that. And yet I wasn't going to give up on the tour. I mean, I was right in the middle of it, you know, organizing the whole thing. So I went through with it. And, well, when Richard finally got to my town in Milwaukee, you know, he had his event here. And then I drove him to Chicago. Well, just so happened I finally got Judy Wood's book, and it happened to be in my van with me, sitting in the middle of my van between the two front seats, and Richard was sitting in the front seat with me, and he saw Judy Wood's book. And we started, and then I had another person with me that was riding along, and we started, he grabbed it, and he said, oh, yeah, I see you got Judy Wood's book. And I said, yeah, and it's got a lot of interesting stuff in it. You know, and I'm not through with it yet, but, you know, I'm starting to read it. And I've been visiting her site off and on for the last 4 years, and, you know, I told him. And I even told him I wasn't convinced with the nanothermite theory that this didn't sit with me. And Richard just kind of listened, and then he started to read from her book, and he was trying to get our opinions. And basically the two of us that were sitting in the van, you know, I was driving and my friend was in the back, we basically had this little discussion with him about, you know, why is it that this researcher is not getting, you know, out there, because she's got some really great research here. And, well, you know, well, Richard gave us his vague answers, and I've heard some of his vague answers about it before. There are some articles written on AE 9/11 Truth. But, you know, we didn't make a big deal of it. We just basically told him, you know, the whole story's not there, and nanothermite is not the answer. And he kind of agreed that there's more to it, but he said, no, that's, you know, it's, we got to go with the solid stuff and all that, and that's the nano, you know, and that's kind of the vague answer I got. Well, anyways, he decided he wanted to buy the book. And that was kind of funny, because I said, well, sure, I can always order another one from Judy, you know. So he bought that one. I had another one. I had the Jesse Ventura book with the 63 documents or whatever. He bought them both off of me. But, well, then it was funny because I've heard some of the questions at my event, and then one of the tour stops was Madison. And then I found out, you know, from a YouTube that Richard was confronted about Judy Woods in Madison with We Are Change Oshkosh. And I know the person that runs that site. I mean, I live in Wisconsin. I know all the truthers around here. And, you know, it seemed kind of vague the way Richard answered that. And then I found out like a week later that the Peoria stop he was confronted. And then I read the article that they put up there about all, and they were basically, I think maybe after the tour, I don't know, or during the tour, they came to the conclusion that they needed to defend, you know, their point of view against what Judy's written. And they went out of their way to write this article on the 9/11 Truth. And I don't know if all the listeners have seen that article, but it's basically there, and they talk about the spires and that they went down into the dust cloud and they didn't disappear or turn into dust. And, you know, when I watched that video of the spires, to me, my eyes tell me they turned to dust. And I just found it really...
Talking about those columns that were...
Right, those columns
like
that were left
stories,
over, right.
The steel columns, and right in front of our eyes, we see these steel columns just turn into dust.
Yes, they do. And the image of where they were is left there in the air just for a split second there. You know, and they're trying to say, oh, that might have been dust hanging on top of the metal. And they, you know, you got to go with your logical thinking and your critical thinking and your common sense sometimes, you know, and not just believe all these, you know, these leaders in the 9/11 truth movement, you know. And, you know, basically, I see a lot of stuff like that. You read about Stephen Jones. And back in 2006, I met him. I even had dinner with him.
Okay, let me stop you right there. We got to go to break. We'll be back in just a minute. We're getting an insight from somebody that knows some of these people. Well, we're back from break here, and have Andrew Johnson from UK, and Matthew Nellis from, he was telling us about Jones, Stephen Jones. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like, you know, if you really watch these leaders and you try to follow their careers, you know, you go back to 1989 and you hear about Stephen Jones, and there's even a video out there that basically says that he basically discredited the cold fusion, or he termed it that. They didn't even want to use that term, and he basically discredited the Pons and Fleshman study on free energy with cold fusion. And you know, you wonder, well, you know, oh, now Stephen Jones, here he is, 10, 15 years later, he's the leader of one of the first guys that come out with the thermite paper, you know, and start Scholars for 9/11 Truth with James Fenster. You know, you got to know where, you know, you got to watch and learn where these guys came from, what their history is about them, you know. There's a lot of people that talk about Fenster's history, James Fenster, with his Kennedy research and some of the things that he's come up with discrediting the other researchers and what he's saying about the Pruder film and all that. But you know, not to say that these guys are distant false trolls, but you never know. I mean, they basically, the NSA, 50,000 employees, you know. But it's just funny, these two guys, you know, have some controversies about them, and they're the ones that started Scholars for 9/11 Truth, you know. And let me get back to Richard Gage. You know, when Richard Gage came to, when he had that tour, and then they came out with that article, you know, and then you read the, like I said, you read the other side of it, you know, you have to wonder, you know. Now, I resigned from, and I even got a personal email from Richard, and I never told him why I was resigning. I just said, or why I wanted my name off and my website off, but he had to bring up a little line about Judy Wood in the email he sent me back, you know. And, you know, why do that? You know, if I'm going to, you know, get my name off, I never sent anything to him about Judy Wood in my email when I wanted my name off, although he knows I did research with her. You know, here I get a little email back from him saying, you know, Judy Wood does not, here, let me read it. I'll get to it right here if I can find it. You know, he talks about she's not saying anything about the molten metal and the, you know, and the nanothermite and all that. It's almost like an attempt to try to and read my article on AE 9/11 Truth that we put up there. Well, I even read the article three times already before he even told me that, you know, and I didn't come into agreement with how they wrote that article and how they basically are discrediting Judy Wood's research. So, you know, when you see a lot of that, you know, you just start saying to yourself, you know what, I got to bring this up. This is really important. Just in the last couple of days, James Fetzer on Veterans Today put an article up, and another member of Architects and Engineers, he wrote this article, and James Fetzer put it up on Veterans Today. It's called The Confessions of a 9/11 Truth Activist. And this gentleman from, I think he's from San Diego, and I just can't remember his name real quick here, but offhand. But he basically was telling about some of the discrediting that's going on, you know, and that they're not allowing people to join the website if they even mention Judy Wood's name, you know. And, you know, that's wrong. That's just wrong any way you look at it. And, you know, they can give you excuses. They can say, oh, you know, this research is just so far out there, you know, we got to be stay with the solid stuff. No, you put it all on the table. And, you know, I say that Judy is exactly right when she says you need to find out what happened that day. And that's where, and I even changed the, on my website, Take a Stand for 9/11 Truth, ts911t.org. I used to say I wanted an independent 9/11 investigation. Now I say I want an independent criminal 9/11 investigation, because we need a criminal investigation on 9/11, and the first step in a criminal investigation is to find out what happened. And if there's anybody more qualified to say what happened than Judy Wood. She's a material scientist. She's taking all these observations and these pictures, and she's showing them to you on her website, and now she's put it in her book, Where Did the Towers Go? And here she's not talking about who did it, you know, or, I mean, how it was. There's a little bit about how it was done, you know, in her writing, but not so much. But just she basically sticks to what happened.
And, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
I've heard the mantra of Gage. We need a new investigation. Now, of course, he's a 501c3, and architects and engineers cannot petition Congress and keep that tax-free status.
That's right.
The thing that should be said is it's your lucky day. There is a comprehensive forensic investigation by somebody, Dr. Judy Wood, that is qualified in this area. It exists in a book today. She filed a QI-TAM case She put her evidence into the court. She was not sanctioned. They didn't want to rule on it. Too hot to handle. But she did it.
She did it.
Gage has not done that. He did not on the NIST report. He did not put in his thermite. Stephen Jones didn't put it in. They talk about the molten metal. They didn't put it in a request for corrections. Are those guys, is their computer broken? Or the only time that they want to talk about it is where they don't have any accountability.
That's true, and another thing that, I just want to bring this up. I got so frustrated a few weeks ago when it was just all compiling on me that I came out with you can see this picture on a website. I came out with a picture. I have the cover of the Citizens Investigation Team, one of their DVDs that they did, right? And then I have this conference that's coming up in Toronto, evidence conference that they're putting up in Toronto, the Toronto hearings, that's in the middle, and on the other end is Judy Wood's book. And I put in big words, what's wrong with this picture? And there's,
Tell me what's wrong, because I've got a comment, and I'd like to have Andrew's comment. What's wrong with this international hearing on 911, and Dr. Judy Wood has been censored specifically?
Yeah, well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I don't really think anything's changed. And I think, if people are able to replay that broadcast with your phone call to James Gourley and then tie that in with what Matt's been saying, here, I think the pretty clear picture emerges as to what is wrong. And we're dealing with, pretty much a bunch of scoundrels, as I would like to say. That seems to be, the long and the short of it, really. And they clearly seem to have an agenda to keep certain evidence, as Matt has been alluding to, out of the limelight, and try and discourage people from looking at it in various ways. And I'd also say, just briefly, I'd like Matt to continue, but briefly, I'd say that my experience has been identical to Matt's within the UK. Just for example, talking about censoring of things, when I posted information on the UK 9/11 forum in 2007. It was moved off to a separate area without my permission or knowledge, and I was a moderator on that forum at the time. So, I've been seeing this going on for just about 4 years now.
And 9/11 blogger is another one. Let me give you a little story what happened to me with 9/11 blogger. On my website, I've got close to 700 people that signed up, and they just sign up. They give me their real name, their real first and last name, and they give me their employment if they want to. I don't, and I publish their names and their employment and what city they live in, but I don't give anything out. I don't give an email out. But I've got about 670 people that signed up on my site over the close to four or five years that I've had my site. All this stuff that comes out, I sent out an email to all my people. Well, here's what happened one time. I had a bunch of sites. Judy Woods was one of them. Killtown, some other sites. And it just seems like there's certain sites that this group of, leaders, they don't like. Well, one day I get an email. Well, one of the big people on 9/11 blogger is a guy named Reprehensor. Okay? And he's well-known on 9/11 blogger. And I get an email one day, and he says, congratulations. I see you got 500 names on your website, That's a milestone, A nice compliment. But then he starts lecturing to me about I need to look at my website and who I have on there, Well, the first thing that went through my mind, and let me tell you, I've always been an independently minded person. And even though I join these groups and all that, but I sent him an email back basically telling him in so many words, stay out of my business. It's my website, And, of course, I didn't get a response, Well, just before that email, though, guess what happens to me? I had a logo on for my website on 9/11 blogger. I used to support it, send some donations, and one of the guys put my logo there without any explanation at all. One day it just disappeared. I wrote them. I said, my logo's missing. Nobody you know, why is it off now, you know? And then I get that letter from Reprehensor. Well, there you go. That's what I'm saying. You're censoring certain people, certain websites. This has been going on since the beginning of the movement. And then this goes way back in 2006 when this happened to me.
So would it be true to say that within the, quote, truth movement, it's a censoring, and this is the only story, and we don't want to look at any real evidence, whether it's true or not, where you stick to this story, and if you step outside that box, you're not welcome.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I've gotten emails from people when they see me step outside that box and, you know, criticize me and, you know, I'm always polite. You know, I don't, when I'm on a blog, I'm polite. I try to use common sense and, you know, and not denigrate anybody, you know, in a blog, you know. I might joke around a little bit, but I'm not going to put somebody down because of what they believe, you know. But
let me ask you this. Yeah. Is you've been around Richard Gage a lot. I've had him on my show. I've listened about 4 or 5 hours. I find no evidence. My question to you is, do you think Richard Gage actually is in search of the real truth, looking at all evidence, or not?
Well, I met him just recently. Otherwise, I met him in Chicago when he came to Chicago for a tour and talked to him there and gave him an Investigate 9/11 hat. But I got to know him pretty well a little bit. I hung out with him for a whole day. We toured Milwaukee. He likes architecture and all that. Saw some architecture around here. And I can say this. I think, you know, it's funny. Somebody had told me this. Funny, when Judy Woods came out and started showing her research, you know, this was before, and then there was the breakup in Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which then divided into Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice. Well, Judy Woods was joined Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and I started listening and watching her stuff come out there and started looking at her site, and all of a sudden they had that breakup, and I know Morgan Reynolds and Judy Woods were in that group. And bingo, you know, all of a sudden, here comes architects and engineers out of nowhere, you know, and they're starting to amass people to look at, you know, all their architects and engineers. I don't know, you know, maybe Richard is honest, maybe he's being played, you know, by the real people that are infiltrating this, but or he's been, you know, he's been talked to a number of times, and it's hard for even Andrew or me, and I'm sure Andrew will agree. We can't really know those facts. Those are really secret facts, you know. We can only look at how they interact with other researchers and how they sign themselves onto some statements about this reacher and that, and we can read what they say and hear what they say, and then we have to make a judgment. Are they being legit? You know, I often wonder what most of the leadership in this, especially these three big sites, you know, Architects and Engineers, the Scholars for 9/11 Truth and Justice, and Scholars for 9/11 Truth. I often wonder if these sites weren't designed right from the beginning to lead this 9/11 Truth movement.
Let me ask you this question. You use the word researchers, okay? If you were actually serious about the truth, and you, under the word researchers, now, would you give more weight to somebody such as Dr. Judy Wood, that is a material specialist, has a degree in physics, engineering, civil and engineering, and all of the basic aspects of what would be required to do an independent, a real authoritative research. Would you give more weight to her, or would you listen to somebody like Jim Fetzer that's got a PhD, he's a philosopher, or Kevin Ryan, now he's just a chemist in certain areas,
right.
Niels Herrett, he has a chemist. He's a chemist. I read his affidavit recently on the Gallup thing, and he won't even say that thermite or nanothermite isn't explosive. He just says highly energetic or explosive. Or all these other people. We have theologians. Like, if you go look at who's going to be at the 911, the international hearing, we got Mike Gravel. He's a politician out of Alaska. There's a Lance DeHaven Smith here. It says he's a political science major.
Right.
We got Peter Dale Scott. He's a diplomat and a poet. Now, boy, you know, if I were a If I have a toothache, I go to a dentist.
That's right.
I don't go to poets. I don't go to politicians. David Ray Griffith there, what does he do here? He's a theologian. Well, go and see, go and sin no more. Okay, that might be applicable in certain areas.
And I know David. I did a tour for him.
Right, but I mean, if you're going to get, you know, we all can sit and judge critical thinking, the evidence, which is how I got involved. When I looked at, the first thing that grabbed me was 800,000 tons of material turned to dust.
I looked and I said,
the evidence is there's no debris on the ground. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, that's a real empirical fact. How are you going to get around that one? And then I listened to Mr. Gage, and, oh, it has the appearance of a controlled demolition. There's a lot of things. It could have been anything, not nanothermite, thermite, Syntex, TNT, dynamite. But when you get to the empirical evidence of the seismic recordings, that 230,000 tons has got to hit planet Earth at some point and be recorded. It wasn't.
You know, let me tell you this. You know, after reading Judy Wood's book, and I'm so appreciative that she did this book on her own and not, you know,
Hold on, we'll get right back about him reading Dr. Judy Wood's book. And then we're going to get Andrew and his take on some of this. Back in a minute. Okay, back from break. Andrew Johnson, Matthew Hallis, and Alice, and you were, go ahead and continue on your train of thought there.
Well, you know, I can't remember where we left off, but let's have some fun. Let's start speaking like conspiracists, you know, and let's just make a little pretend story here. And I think, you know, I used to think these things because my mind thinks like this, and, you know, and I love it that my mind thinks this way because it does keep me alert and keeps my critical thinking skills a little alert. But, you know, once upon a time, you know, and I'm not saying this is true, but it sure is fun thinking this way. Once upon a time, there was a 9/11 truth movement, right? And all of a sudden, you hear about a few organizations, and they've got two really credentialed people that start off a really cool organization called Scholars for 9/11 Truth, right? And they let this organization run for about a year, and all of a sudden, there's turmoil. And what if this turmoil was actually planned, you know? What if it was planned this way that they'd have a breakup? Yeah, that sounds really cool, you know, plan the breakup, and now you got a division in within, you know, within the movement, and now you got Fetzer. Oh, what does Fetzer do? He runs over to Judy Wood's side, you know, and he's saying he's supporting Judy Wood, you know, but yet then he goes on, and he starts to sort of, you know, twist and turn some words, you know, the lasers, masers, and plasmoids, and I got to thank Andrew Johnson on that, you know. But he said, no, I support everything, you know. And they basically, you know, they plan this breakup. And, you know, now Judy Woods is kind of like on one side of it, that the side is kind of, you know, not as professional as that other new one that just came out, you know. And then, oh, got to get another organization in there. Let's start up Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, you know. And we'll get another good professional group in there. You know, who knows if this, you know, when you look at these think tanks that have these millions and billion dollar budgets and all these employees, you don't think that they're five chess moves ahead of us? That they can't plan this stuff out like this? You know, sometimes you got to think that way. And I'm not saying it's true, but boy, it sure sounds like a pretty picture the way they interact with each other and the way things are happening, the way research is being, you know, stymied and shunned by some other, you know, and some people, those professors, they're right at their retirement age, so they're not going to lose anything. But, you know, Judy Woods, oh, she loses her job, you know. I know James Fetzer personally. I know Kevin Barrett personally. They live in my state. I've been with them a number of times. I had James Fetzer and Kevin Barrett were my first ones to come and speak in Milwaukee, one of my first speaking events. So, you know, I'm still going to say hi to these guys, but you know what? I have my suspicions, and that's just the way I'm going to leave it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was on Jim Fetzer's thing. I was on his page, and in 4 days, I was on, barred, back on, and totally barred from his homepage, blog, everything. Because I don't put up with nonsense. When they speak up, I want to talk about the evidence. I don't want to talk about the messenger, Dr. Judy Wood. I want to talk about the evidence. I can't get these guys pointed to the evidence. Either it is true or it's not true. Did 800,000 tons of material? It's not on the ground, folks. It's in the dust. And it's supported by the seismic recording. So did it not happen or not? Now, I don't want to hear about the sexual life or she went to some organization or she didn't join. I want to hear talk about the evidence. Can't get them on point.
That's right. You know, I got to compliment Andrew Johnson on his book because, you know, reading Judy Wood's book, and there's some technical stuff in there, you know. But Andrew Johnson puts another light on her book that I think readers should, if they're going to read Judy Wood's book, read Andrew Johnson's book, 9/11, Finding the Truth. He sheds some light about this internal conflict. He does a really good job. So
we're going to talk about that, Andrew. We want to get you on the record. Stay tuned. We'll have an intro here. I got to pay some bills, and we'll be back for the second hour. Second hour. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad with the Ralph Winterroad Show coming to you live out of Alaska and out of the United Kingdom. We have Andrew Johnson. Glad, honored to have him on today, and also honored to have Matthew Nallis. We've been listening to an insider that knows Gage and Jones and some of these other people. And Andrew, I'd like to get your take on this about Richard Gage and this book he's talking about in your homepage. Why don't you put that out there and comment on that?
Very interesting to hear your story, and I really do applaud you for having the courage to sort of take the stand that you have. You know, certainly I'm sort of in 100% agreement with you, and I'd just sort of like to make a few short comments, really, to sort of pick up on some of the things that you've told us, and I'd first of all, you know, like to thank you for all the work that you've done. You've obviously been very, very active over the last few years, and I think you're one of the very small number of people who are willing, you know, to put an awful lot of effort into getting the truth out to people, and you've also got the integrity to continually and honestly reevaluate what you're, you know, experiencing, what you're finding, what you're seeing, and in my experience, you know, that puts you in a what I call a minority of a minority, you know. So again, I, you know, sort of thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming forward with this information and what everything else you've done, and I think just to pick up on a couple of things, you know, that Ralph had asked about these people and whether people like Gage are honestly looking for the truth. And, you know, you do, like you said, you can't really prove that he's not looking for the truth. It's not something he can prove, and you have to look at their behavior. And really that's what I tried to do in the book, not so much with Richard Gage, because I didn't interact much with him, but specifically with, you know, Jim Fetzer, and to a lesser extent with Steve Nee Jones. I've written about those in the book. And I think, you know, from what you've told me recently with Jim Fetzer, your experience was essentially identical to mine, and his strategy doesn't seem to have changed in the last 3 years. And 2008 was essentially the time that Dr. Wood made the connection between the Hutchison effect. It's actually slightly before 2008, but that's when it really kind of came into the public domain. And since that time, since 2008, Jim Fetzer exhibited this strange pattern of behavior. And I found it interesting to observe the subtle differences in the behavior of people like Jim Fetzer, Richard Gage, Kevin Barrett. And it almost seemed like, you know, you've got these different personalities which appeal to different types of thinker, if you will. And, I know we discussed this very briefly in email, but it seems to me that people like Richard Gage really must believe their own nonsense, because they seem to have quite a level of conviction about what they're doing.
Hold that thought here. We got to go to break. Back in just a minute. Uh-huh. Okay, back for a break here, and I got two guests today. And Andrew, you were talking about Richard Gage here when we went to break.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that, you know, when you listen to these people, that they do themselves seem to be on a mission. But over time, you know, and through my interaction with them, I essentially proved to myself, if not to anybody else, but I did try to document this, and that's what the book is for, that they must be lying. They must be, you know, not telling the truth. And you know, you can't have a leader of the truth movement or a truth group being untruthful about, you know, evidence which the group is meant to be basing their research and their presentations on. So when you get things like serious omissions, you get stories changing, you know, halfway through, you get kind of misrepresentation, you try and, you know, offer them the opportunity to correct a simple mistake, and that opportunity is not taken. You know, you get accused of sending hate mail, and you get accused of all these other things, and you give people an opportunity to actually, you know, see if this was a genuine mistake or they just had a bad day and didn't mean to say, you know, what they said. And then you go through all of that and you still find that they're maintaining this sort of facade, really, at the end of it. And, you know, it's rather soul-destroying because, you know, you end up becoming very cynical. I'm speaking from my own experience, of course, here. And, you know, you almost end up feeling like you're policing these people. And this of course, is not what we want because, you know, as you yourself have said, Ralph, all we want to talk about is the evidence. So you get caught up in all these, you know, these sort of spit fights, email fights, and blog postings. And, you know, you then the time is consumed with that and you're no longer able to spend the time, for example, you know, if I was to add up all the time that I spent replying to these ridiculous comments against Dr. Wood and to a lesser extent against me, you know, I could have made a whole good quality video, you know, and a DVD about all the research and the evidence and got that out there. But instead, you know, I've spent all this time responding to this silly nonsense and almost policing these people, you know, and it's just, I don't really want to do that. I don't like it. But unfortunately, because of the way this has all unfolded, it's become necessary, as I see things, for people to do this. I don't like, you know, calling people a scoundrel and this sort of thing, but that's the only description to me which seems to fit some of these people that that Matthew has been talking about. And as I say, the evidence for why I would say that is in the book and it can be downloaded free, you know. So what more can I do, you know?
Well, you know, I had Gage on my show twice. I asked him about it. I had seen Dr. Judy Wood's book, if he was going to read it. I'll look at it. And then I said she had a PhD. The next thing you know, he's saying, he's indirectly, well, people with PhDs are nuts. They're nuts.
Right.
So, you know, he gets into name-calling, and then I ask him about the evidence of the seismic recordings. Well, he hasn't looked at it. And then, of course, he brings up the fact, of course, he don't want to talk about the toasted cars. He doesn't want to talk about all of the evidence. And you can't look at a, quote, crime scene or an investigation without looking at each and every element of the evidence. He doesn't want to go there. And then he brings out, and you could probably enlighten us here, about his peer-reviewed thing, article.
Right. I mean, you know, there's a number of problems with the AE 9/11 Truth group. You know, and we mentioned earlier on how, and it's worth reminding people of this, that if they're convinced about the evidence that they're presenting to the public, you know, and they feel that that is the most valid, then they should be willing to subject that evidence to cross-examination in some kind of court. And, you know, the first step towards doing that was this request for correction. But if you go and search this original document for the word thermite, you'll find it embedded within a URL to a link to Stephen E. Jones's paper. But you won't find the word thermite mentioned anywhere in the document, and you won't find the, you know, the word molten metal anywhere in the document, which is what they commonly speak of. So that right there, you know, should be raising serious questions. And we've covered this on the program before, and yet, you know, I think the first caller we had in then goes on about Stephen E. Jones being hounded out of his job, and he completely ignores this, you know, factual evidence, which you can go and check for yourself. You you know, as an independent researcher, an independent thinker, and you know, find that it is actually true. So, you know, already you've got very basic questions about that. And I was just checking again today about this architects and engineers group, and I found that the domain name was registered. You can look that up on Whois, and it was registered on the 21st of September 2006. But if you go into the Internet Archive, which is this site that archives all the websites around the world, the first update to this site appears to have been on the 6th of April 2007. So it looks like, you know, this group was already thought of and registered in late 2006, which was the time when Dr. Judy Wood had started to, you know, post her research about the directed energy weapon effects and this sort of thing. And then the site springs into existence and kicks into gear on the 6th of April. And that was about 2 or 3 weeks after Dr. Wood had filed her RFC, you know, with NIST. So this does seem to indicate there is some kind of planning going on in the background of how they can basically keep these people herded into these channels so that nobody will actually really be focused on the very important evidence, which, you know, at the end of the day, changes your view of the whole system that we live in and the way it works and how it's controlled. Ultimately, that's why this is so dangerous.
We got a caller here, New Mexico, ET. You got a question for either one of my guests? Hello, New Mexico.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I want to repeat an amazing piece of evidence that Ralph shared earlier, that the architects and engineers are a 501c3, which means they can't petition Congress, which means they have no teeth. They have no standing. And, you know, these think tanks, I think, have turds floating in them. Because what better group to get to investigate 9/11 than a group that has a gag order on them?
Right.
Yeah, I asked James Gorley, the guy that's heading up, one of the guys at the chemist and his lawyer, heading up the hearing, the new international hearing in 9/11. Who's going to do this? Congress is not going to do it. Because you guys can't do it. Congress is not going to do this. He said, well, we need somebody with subpoena power. Well, Congress is it. Well, maybe some small government or something. That's ludicrous. You're chasing your tail. If you don't know what the goal is, why do you get up and keep repeating it? We need a new investigation. There's one out there already. Read it and tell me it's not right. Go ahead. Any other follow-up questions?
No, thank you. I'm out.
Okay, back in a minute. I thought I heard the music. Did I hear the music? Oh, okay. I guess we did. You have any comment, Matthew, on what he said?
I agree with Andrew. When he's talking about these, when we find these things that, like Judy Woods doesn't want to be mentioned, you know, she doesn't want the words when you're talking about her research in, like, lasers, masers, and plasmoids. Now, Jim Setzer knew that. Andrew wrote in his book, I'm sure they've confronted him about that, you know. Yet here he is, he's still using it, and I catch him in a blog using it, and I learn from Andrew's book. So I thought it was my place now to, you know, basically challenge him on using those words. And I didn't really challenge him in my first blog. I just wanted the readers to be aware, you know. But then Fetzer comes at me, you know, kind of tough-like, you know. And then he says, well, Andrew Johnson's got a chock full of, things, of, you know, discriminating against me and all this, you know. And then I ask him, I say, hey, if you're saying this, then give it to me. What is this chock full of, you know, attacks by Andrew Johnson, you know? And then, you know, I can't get it out of him, you know? And then he says these things about Judy Woods, and I read what he, and I process it, and I make a judgment, and he puts it in a blog, and, you can, if you challenge these guys, and you're polite about challenging, and you don't get crazy and start being critical with them, You can see what they're up to. And Fetzer had a chance to correct himself. He didn't correct himself. And then what really gets to me is how he is saying in his blogs about about John Hutchinson and Ace Baker with his little fake videos that he made, you know, and then he's trying to tell, you know, he's trying to say, well, I believe Ace Baker. Come on. Come on, Jim, you're a, you know, he's a PhD, you know, he's a professor. He's got critical thinking skills. He says, you know, and he believes Ace Baker when John Hutchinson's been visited by the government, and he's been building his lab for 30 years, and he's been demonstrating off, you know, time and time again, and he's telling me, you know, I use my common sense with that, and I go, where are you coming with this, Fester? You know, where are you coming with this? It just doesn't make sense. You're just trying to create controversy here, you know, and that's wrong. And if anybody has any ounce of truth and sees that, you know, there is no, you know, I have known Fester, and I know, you know, these people, but, you know, my, just knowing them and being friends with them, that doesn't mean anything to me. What it really means to me is truth. So there is no friendship, and there is no, you know, camaraderie in the truth movement if you're really looking for truth. And when you discover these things with these leaders, and I have over the years, and, you know, I'll come out and I'll talk the way I see things. And you know, it just gets to me that they think I'm this dumb, you know, sometimes the way they address me in the blogs and that, because I'm not.
Okay, hold on just a minute. We got to go to break. We'll be back in just 1 second. Back from break, Matthew Nowis and also Andrew Johnson, and I got a comment here. I'm reading from this, let's see, what do they call it, the International Hearing in Toronto, the International Hearings on the Events of 9-1-1, and of course James Gourley is that, and one of the goals up there is a psychological resistance to accounts that challenge the official one, the official NIST report. Now, I have a letter here. By the way, this is available on the Internet for verification, dated June 27, 2007. And it says here, NIST only investigated the factors leading to the initiation of the collapses of the WTC towers, not the collapses themselves. So, therefore, that is an admission. They never looked at the actual, what can be clothed as an incorrect word, the collapses. Actually, the dustification of the buildings, and there are 7 buildings, not just the 2, that one that had dustification that vanished that day and turned into dust and various other things. So therefore, now, one of their goals, and I talked to James Gourley, why would you, and Richard Gage does this too, why would you want to discredit a report that already says it's smoke, it had no value to begin with, and it's been also by members of the committee said it's nonsense. Now, why would you talk about something that said we really didn't even investigate it anyway? What am I missing here? Comment me, the one of you.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, again, that's another piece of evidence which is not looked at. And I think the reason, Ralph, why, you know, that letter that you read out is not spoken of is because the letter was actually written to Dr. Judy Wood in her, request for correction in the sort of dealings with that. So if that letter was published and, you know, they saw Dr. Judy Wood's name on it, then, that wouldn't fit in with the message of, for example, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. I mean, you know, I have another letter which was sent to me where they said Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth have developed their message, and Dr. Judy Wood's study does not fit in with that message. I can't remember the precise wording, but that is also reproduced in the book. So, again, we're seeing a sort of a very clear level of censorship. And this is easy to see, you know, once you actually establish the pattern, you can easily see what's going on. And ultimately, you have to ask yourself, you know, why this censorship is happening. And I think if you read Dr. Judy Wood's book and look at the other evidence, you know, surrounding the way that it's been censored, and for example, that it's been independently published, this book, and the publisher that was going to publish it refused to publish the book, etc., and all this. You know, you can see this pattern repeated over and over and over again, ad nauseam, in fact. And so, you know, I don't really know what else to say. It's just a repeating pattern. I've watched this same thing happening over and over again for the last 3 years. Matthew is one of the few people that's actually blown the whistle and come out to state these things publicly. I think for both Matthew and myself, there is probably other information, you know, that we would, you know, in a private conversation in a small group of people, we'd probably tell people other things. But certainly to sort of put this out on air would be, you know, it just seems kind of rather disturbing and rather disappointing that we would have to bring up such unsavory topics, you know, really. And so it goes on.
Well, you know, from my perspective, because I didn't get along, like I say, I didn't last with Fetzer. I think the other guy was Kevin something, whatever his name
Kevin
was.
Barrett.
Yeah. I lasted with both those guys less than 4 days. Because I don't put up with nonsense. I want to talk about, you know, what really happened. And if NIST report, which they admit, and by the way, it's in their report, too, in their footnotes, we didn't look at the collapse of the towers. We just fooled all you suckers out there. So it's in the dang report, if anybody would ever go read it. So why would I want to talk about something that you admit by confession? Why? It, I mean, that's conclusive evidence. And that's the thing that I got into with Fetzer. Dr. Judy Wood presents conclusive evidence. It's irrefutable. All
it
sorts
is.
Of evidence. There's 800,000 tons of debris missing, folks.
Right.
I mean, it's not on the ground.
I wanted to add that, you know, this conference is coming up in Toronto, these hearings, you know, and, you know, I was so glad that I heard that broadcast with James Gourley that you put on in your last show, that I got a link to that. Because it has just started to connect with me so solidly, you know. And then here comes that crazy mind of mine that likes to think things out. And, you know, James Gourley was the one that attacked Judy Wood's evidence and her critiqued her paper and all, you know, and all that. And he's the major sponsor. James Gourley himself is the one that and then he basically established their steering committee. And he's the one that got the international. Started the hearings for the International Center for 9/11 Studies, which got all that big terabyte of information from NIST. You know, why is it that he got that information, and why is it that he's the one that's attacking Judy Wood, critiquing Judy Wood, and why isn't that Judy Wood is not at that hearing? You know, put all that stuff together. You know, you can come up with whatever you want, but you know. Those are the kind of things I like to put together and say, you know, there's something fishy here, there's something funny going on, you know?
Well, I tell you what. Oh, hear the music. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. Back for the last half hour. We're back for a break, and Andrew Johnson from the UK and Matthew Nowis, two guests today. We're talking about 911 and... the quote 911 truth movement, which seems to be not about the truth. They keep having these different groups pop up, and they get credentials of some organization or somebody with a PhD, and as soon as we get tired of that one, here comes another one. And the one thing that seems quite prevalent in all of these is they never, well, first of all, Judy Woods is a lightning rod. You mentioned Dr. Judy Wood. Oh, my God. All hell breaks loose. You can't talk. That's like on a censored list. And we don't talk about the evidence. We don't ever want to stick to the evidence. What can you prove? What evidence do you have? What empirical evidence? We don't want to go there. We have these theories. Nanothermite. It's a theory. Just like when Fetzer, when I was going around with him, especially with Gage. Okay, you say there's molten metal. Okie dokie. It has the appearance of molten metal coming down. I want to find out when it hit planet Earth, because you know what? I've seen in Hawaii volcanoes. There's molten metal, lava. It hits Mother Earth, and I can find it. I can see it. I can see it turn from a bright red. How come I can't find this molten metal at 911? Why is that? Go get the link to Gage's page. Look at the molten metal. What are they? Where is all the evidence? It didn't happen. It just looks like it. Anybody got any comments?
Right. Well, I mean, this is it. And I think, you know, we've seen a couple of themes there is that what they seem to have done is, and I realize this, you know, particularly when we found, as Matthew mentioned, the link with Stephen E. Jones to cold fusion. We were looking at an energy phenomenon. And, you know, then we find, for example, that thermite is what the buildings were. You know, you could almost argue that a lot of the material that was in the building would make up what's in thermite, i.e. iron oxide, from the rusty girders and the aluminium alloy exterior for the aluminium. So, you know, it looked like this cover story was they did put some thought into it, whoever came up with it, before Stephen Jones came out with it. So it's like they had to make sure that the, a bit like the official story, that this new official conspiracy theory was plausible on the surface. And, you know, when you go through and come out the other end and you look back, you know, everything's clearer in hindsight, as they say. Certainly from my perspective, this seems to be what they've done, is that the cover story seems to have been planned, and the people that were used to cement the cover story were also planned and had a history in a number of cases. And so I think, you know, people can start to look into this if they want to see the whole picture. And I think one of the problems with the overall thing is that, you know, as I think I mentioned when I last came on the program, and I described this to somebody who'd never really heard of any of this before, that they at the end of it said, well, it sounds like science fiction. And they weren't being, you know, rude, or they said it sort of shaking their head because, you know, they couldn't believe it, but yet they knew that what I'd shown them, you know, stacked up. So it's very, very difficult for people for all kinds of reasons.
Go ahead, Matt.
I just wanted to, Andrew points this out in his book really well, and I went back and, you know, I read his whole book, and I kept going back and reading different parts of it, and he mentions the subtleness of these some of these people in the movement, and how easily you can get convinced. And I couldn't tell you how much I could identify with Andrew's book, because that's right where I was, you know. I was basically in that matrix, you know, even though I knew about Judy Wood's research. And I had met her a couple of times. I was at the 2007 conference in Madison that Fetzer ran. And in fact, I videotaped the whole conference when I was there, you know, and used a whole bunch of tapes. But, you know, you hear some evidence from Judy Wood, and then you hear this evidence from architects and engineers, and you hear this evidence here, and, you know, maybe you don't go back to Judy Wood for a while, but, you know, all of a sudden you get kind of sucked in with all these professional organizations. You know, if there's one thing I want to tell the listeners, and I hope they understand, is keep your independence as a truth seeker. You know, don't get so caught up just because they look so professional, these organizations. And do your own your own research and study these people, because that's what I was been. I stayed back, like I said. I kind of stayed neutral for many years, you know, for 3-4 years, and I didn't get caught up in all the blogs and all that stuff. But I read them. And
okay.
Let
me ask you this, Matthew. You mentioned the word evidence, and you've read all of Dr. Judy Wood's book. Where Did the Towers Go? By the way, can be found at wheredidthetowersgo.com or Amazon. Can you refute any of the evidence that's presented in that book?
I'm getting a lot of buzzing on the phone, so can you give me that question again? Because it is a little difficult.
You've read the Dr. Judy Wood's book, Where Did the Towers Go? Can you refute any of the evidence that's presented in that book?
No. You know what? I believe I'm thoroughly behind Judy Wood's evidence. You know, she doesn't go to that who did it. She doesn't go to that why they did it. She doesn't do that. She just sticks to the evidence, and she is so skillful at observing what is there. And
it's a comprehensive examination of all evidence. Nothing is excluded in that book. Now, my next question to you
is, right.
Gage and all of his folks, what is the evidence? I'd like to know what that evidence is, because, you know, I have listened to all that nonsense, and I'm putting it under the gang of nonsense. And now, remember, in the Smith-Mund Act, these agency folks, PSYOPs guys, can get on top of a log and shout on the radios and all this other, They won't put it in writing where they can be held accountable because it's treason to go to lie to another agency. They didn't put it in the NIST report. If they actually had something, they haven't filed a TCAM case, whistleblower case. If they actually had something, did they lose their PIN? So my question to you is, I would like to hear from you, what evidence do they have? Because I don't know what it is other than the materials of a thermitic material was found in the dust. That's it.
That, you know what? You're right on. That is it, you know, and I've heard it and heard it, and I've shouted it out on the street corners, you know, and I was right in your court with them. And I can't tell you how many other people I know that have been, that do that, you know, and I passed out tons of Architects and Engineers, 9/11, you know, Blueprint for Truth DVDs. I own a duplicate. I've done all that stuff, but I've also paid attention and I can't emphasize enough how important it is that, you know, the people listening, you know, pay attention to all this other stuff, this internal conflict that's going on, and all these write-ups and all this, you know, that they're when they attack somebody. It's not right. It's just definitely not right, and it's not right for Citizens Investigation Team. This stuff should be out on the table, and that's it, and the evidence should be talked about, and it should stay to what happened, and it should be a criminal investigation. And I can't even say, you never heard that word criminal very much. You know, I want to tell you something. I do a show in Milwaukee, a TV show called Meet the Truth. It's a cable access program. I've done it for 2 years. But the guy that I took the show over from, he taught me some really good lessons. I mean, when I first met him, he died now. He was in his 70s. But he had done a show in November of 2001 on this cable access program. And I have the show. And all he talked about was this should be a criminal investigation. He was an ex-police officer, you know. And funny thing was, he changed his name. He actually did it legally to whistleblower. And what a lesson I learned from him. And he taught me some stuff about a criminal investigation. This is really not talked about that much. It's always independent investigation, you know, or let's have a new investigation. No, we never had a criminal investigation. That's where we need to start with.
Let me tell you, I read the actual statute that Congress passed, or NIST, and it said if you see any evidence of a crime, you are to preserve all the evidence and hand it over to the FBI for a criminal investigation. Do you think we might not have seen a little bit of a hint of a crime involved here?
Yeah, really.
That was the statutory mandate from Congress, and nobody ever read the original act. I did.
They're sending us through it. They're sending us into what they call that limited hangout, you know, with the nanothermite stuff. And it's not. And you know what? I really believe, and I believe that the truthers, the people that really are truthfully honest, and you know, within themselves are starting to see that, you know, I hope it grows, because we have to change this truth movement to a real truth movement. And
right.
We're not getting all the truth. They're giving us some of it to make them look legit, but we're not getting it all.
Stifling
it.
We got two callers. Let me get them here. Scott in California. Thanks for holding and calling. You have a question for either one or both of the guests?
Well, a comment, Ralph. I was traveling a few months ago in Central America, and I had Dr. Woods' book with me, Where Did the Towers Go? And I had the occasion to be staying in a business-class hotel, and there was a career diplomat from a European country there. And so we were outside smoking cigarettes and talking night after night, and I showed her the stuff, and she said, you know, I knew there was no rubble, and this explains it. Nobody had mentioned to her about, you know, the thing turning to dust in midair, but she knew there was no rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And second point, you had a colonel on some time back talking about depleted uranium.
Yes,
The subject came around to war crimes.
Oh, you're talking about Ray Royke?
Yes.
I forget the guy's name, but the colonel's
Doug
name.
Royke.
But look, it works like this. The Japanese did not investigate the rape of Nanking. The Germans did not investigate the Holocaust, and nobody in the United States is going to investigate 9/11, because when countries get to this point, they're beyond the point of self-correcting. So that's just how it is, but Dr. Woods' book speaks for itself. I've shown that book to several people now, I showed it to a scientist friend of mine. He took one look at the cover and said, that is a particle beam weapon. And this is the kind, just get the book out there, but if you're expecting anything from this government, I think, you know, Ralph, when you hear a judge read the definition of motor vehicle into the record, you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have, because motor vehicle is a commercial thing?
That's right.
Well, judge is not going to read that into the record. Okay.
That's right. I mean, see, that there's the bottom line is space beams, laser, all that stuff, that came out of Stephen Jones. That's what Gorley, he wrote a thing about space beams. But Dr. Judy Wood hasn't said that.
Well,
she says directed energy weapons.
Actually, I asked that scientist friend of mine, could this be based in space? And he said, absolutely, it would be about the size of a telephone pole. And he said, yes, it could be based in space, by the way. So I don't know where it was based or what happened, but it turned to dust in midair. But you're not going to get anything out of this government the way it's configured right now.
I agree. Well, thanks for calling. Ed in Utah, you're up next. Question for either one of the guests or both?
Yeah, Ralph, good show today.
Great. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yes.
Great information, isn't it?
Yes, I do. Listen, I really appreciate both of your guests. Matthew, yes, I kind of identify with you. I'm just a guy out here. I've been a long-time subscriber, though, to the American Free Press newspaper. And I just want to let you in on something. I had called in on a talk show, KOA out of Denver one time when Feltzer was on there. And he had a very cool response at that time when I brought up American Free Press. He didn't denigrate it or anything, but they were, as you know, were the first newspaper to latch on to question marks in the early hours and months after 9/11. And interestingly, one of their chief authors and writers there, Michael Collins Piper, I kind of put yours and Mr. Johnson's plight analogous, and Judy Wood's, of course, plight to what he made a comparison of. And that is Michael Piper, and I won't get far afield here, Ralph, Michael Piper cracked the John F. Kennedy case as far as anybody that has read his book, Final Judgment. Yet, when they have all of these JFK big gatherings every November there in Dallas, particularly last year, Michael Piper is not allowed there.
No.
And you talk,
I read his book, too.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I studied the Kennedy investigation a lot.
Yeah, and so Michael Piper is persona non grata, and yet he's connected the dots. Okay, here you come along, championing good work, scientific work, as Ralph puts it, from Judy Woods, and she's not invited to Toronto. There's something seriously wrong there, then. Just on that alone, and I see the analogous to Piper, and I couldn't help in my mind, because I've been a long-time reader of American Free Press, when I heard Fetzer's cool response, but he took time out to praise one guy from American Free Press, Chris Bolin, a man who 2 years later tried to bring it down.
I have the American Free Press newspaper that they came out with in 2000, I think it was early 2002. I have a copy of it. It was amazing what they came out with back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get it until later on.
Right. Well, there's one reason for that, Matthew. You see, in July of 01, after 25 years, the great Spotlight newspaper, of which John Wayne and great American author Taylor Caldwell were subscribers. Yes, they subscribed to the Spotlight, and after 25 years, in July of 01, it was court-killed by Judge Martin Teel. Isn't that interesting? 2 months before the pending 9/11, they shut down the only newspaper they knew both capable. Yeah.
That's
so America.
That is planning ahead of time.
Yes, like you've been saying all day here. And so you have American Free Press. One last thing on it. Jim Traficant, who's had his problems with them and trying to fight the established, entrenched oligarch, he's now a writer for the American Free Press. It seems that great men that can't get their message out on the main stage end up there. So I commend your guys' work, and I know they'll
be. What you thought of with the Free Press, that came across my mind, how that newspaper was taken out just before 9/11. I had that same thought a while back.
Okay,
yes.
Well, thanks. We've got two more callers. I want to give them a chance here. Okay. And the one thing that I want to inject here is, just like anybody that's qualified, all of the witnesses at this new international hearing on 9/11, Dr. Judy Wood has more expertise than the whole pot of them put together. Now, Is there something wrong here? Let's see. We want to have a hearing on the theory of relativity, but Einstein's not invited. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Sign me up. Benson, Montana, you're next.
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
Yes.
I'm one of those first 1,000 architects and engineers. I'm an engineer that signed the document requested an investigation for A&E 9/11 Truth.
Uh-huh.
And I've spent extensive time questioning Richard Gage. And let me tell you some of the things that he can't answer. Number one, he can't produce a good chain of evidence on the this, I call it fairy dust, nanothermite material.
Okay.
The chain of evidence that he would introduce to a court would not stand up in court.
You're right.
The stuff, who knows where it came from? Can it be duplicated? Was it collected by a clean source and kept in a, you know, in what's called a good chain of evidence? And I don't believe it can. Secondly, he knows about the blueprints for the World Trade Center. They're kept in San Francisco.
Okay, hold on just a minute. We'll be right back here. Got to go take a break, and then we'll get Vince, and then we got Ron in Michigan. Back in a minute. Okay, back for a break here. We got about 3 minutes. Go ahead, Vince. Montana, you were telling us about Gage and the chain of evidence and evidence.
Yes, well, secondly, is Richard Gage knows that the blueprints, addendums, and supplements for the original World Trade Center are in San Francisco, and yet they're not released to architects and engineers for study, at least for the purpose of building stronger buildings in the future. They will not be released. That tells us that something is in those blueprints that they don't want us to see. The third thing is the radiological signatures that were found on the World Trade Center site and are now closed off the Fresh Kills landfill indicates that there was a radiological event on that day. Now, one of the things I question him about is it possible that the tuned mass dampers for that building, tuned mass dampers are used in all high-rises to eliminate wind vibration, were made of depleted uranium because of the heavy weight versus lead, which is normally used, and he didn't know about that. But we were trying to account for what would give the high radiological and tritium signature on the World
Trade
Center.
Let me interrupt you here. I've got to ask one question. I got another one to get the other caller time. Have you read Dr. Judy Wood's book yet?
Yes, I have. She does an excellent job of gathering evidence. She's a superb researcher. I very much use her as a resource, as an evidence-gathering resource. But I truly believe that the story revealed by Dmitry Kalazov about the peaceful nuclear explosions treaty documents that signed, that signatured by the United States, said that there were two underground nuclear devices under the World Trade Center. I believe that story.
Okay, well, let me get to Ron in Michigan here. I want to give you a chance here. We've got a very limited amount of time. Go ahead, Ron.
Well,
Ron, are you there?
Yeah, Ralph. You know how the government works. They'll have probably 10 study teams on doing a job, and then they'll probably put three or four methods live, you know, Team A, Team B, Team C, Team D. They show everything but the kitchen sink at those towers, you know, and there's evidence of maybe three or four different programs going on. And there's red herrings that they planted, too, to lead you down wrong pathways, you know. But
let me ask you this, because we don't have much time. Have you read Dr. Judy Wood's book?
I've studied a little bit of her work in Hutchinson. I haven't got her book yet, no.
I tell you what, you read you get the book, and the questions, the things that you're thinking about will be answered within the book.
Yeah, but they did spray powdered aluminum and iron oxide, you know, as fireproofing on those, you know, a lot of the structure inside, you know.
Right, but all of these, quote, theories will be answered within the book.
Okay.
You will see actual real evidence, irrefutable evidence that will answer your questions, like on the nukes, where the radiation came from. All sorts of things are answered by Dr. Judy Wood. And I want to thank you for calling. I want to give our two guests time to make a closing statement. Either one of you, I don't know, probably got about a minute or so. Each one of you want to take about a 30-second closing shot?
Sure. If I may just come back on the Dmitry Kalazov story, I'm pretty sure the guy's disinformation, that's covered in my book, my email exchange with Kalazov. I'm surprised that anyone who's read Dr. Wood's book would come to the conclusion that Dmitry Kalazov is right, because what he says doesn't stack up. My website, checktheevidence.com, and the free download you'll see on there is linked from the homepage. And I'd like to thank you to Matthew for coming on and really, you know, given us all the information, and the way that he's presented it, I think, is marvelous. So thank you very much.
Matthew, your closing statement.
And I want to thank Andrew for writing what I call one heck of a thorough book, and being in the truth movement for 6 years, all the experiences that I've had in the truth movement, and reading his book, I'm telling you, it complements Judy Wood's book so much. I just can't tell you enough that if you read Judy Wood's book, please read Andrew Johnson's book, 9/11, Finding the Truth. I also want to reemphasize that, I put this out to all the people that are really seeking the truth. Keep that independence as a truth seeker. You know, don't get caught in that matrix of the big organizations, and do your research on these people, and you'll find out a lot of dots will get connected.
Okay, as I say, we're gone. We'll see you next week. Thanks both of the guests for being on.